Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the KJO Community. I was going to say Community Spotlight, but in fact, it is. It's the Tuesday talk show here on KAJO Radio. Thank you for joining us this morning. We'll ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour, and then we certainly invite them. The number, if you want to jot it down, is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll welcome into the airwaves and let you air your question or comment for our guest live, as a matter of fact. We have a full house today. It is the second Tuesday of the month. That means we have the city staff here, headed by City Manager Aaron Kubik, Community Development Director Brad Clark, and Amber Neek, our Housing Director, in charge of getting everybody a place to live.
I'll take it.
You'll take it? Okay. I'm not sure of the official title. But let's start. First of all, kudos, Aaron, to you and your staff for creating a Christmas plaza for everybody to enjoy, and a pretty good ceremony on last Friday night.
Wow. It was. There was a lot of people there.
An estimate of that crowd size?
Yeah, it was good. The crowd size was great. The tree looked good. James, who's headed this up, just did a fabulous job. Jeff Voigt was a partner in this also. The dynamic duo for the Christmas tree lighting are those two individuals right there. And then there's all additional support by all the different sponsors and stuff. And the city did provide some resources for that also. But it just seems to be getting better and better each year. And it was neat to be in the crowd. And as soon as Santa came up on the stage, all the little kids were so excited to see Santa.
Oh, that's always special.
Oh, my gosh. It was great. And we had a few Grinches running around causing mischief. But, they had an issue. I think one of the Grinches did something with our electrical. So when Santa did the countdown, we had a little Grinch surprise. But we got everything taken care of.
All those green-suited little men chased away. Huh?
Yeah, that's right. That is totally right. Just a great time. The kids... And it was nice to see a wide range of people there, especially youth. I saw some high school age all the way down to just the little ones, and they were all having a good time enjoying that evening.
All right. Well, I hope it's there to enjoy, as a matter of fact, right through the holidays. And tip of the hat to bring that off again. Well, I know that must be a monumental undertaking to get all of that together, come together at the right time in the right place.
Yeah, it is. It takes a lot of work, a lot of background work, and months of planning and getting it done so it runs smoothly. And it's just a wonderful feeling when those things happen. I think that's why myself and my colleagues and everyone I work with do what we do. We're here as a public servant to help build community, and we do that through events like this also.
All right. I do have to point out, otherwise I would be severely ostracized, that Mr. Kubik is not wearing a tie today. Neither is Brad Clark, nor Amber, nor me. Everybody's casual today. All right. We'll move right ahead, because I know there was a big forum last night at the Grants Pass City Council Chambers. And I'm assuming that's probably what we're talking about today, just judging from your guest here.
That's one of the things. Yeah, definitely. And we've been making some good progress on some housing initiatives and looking at marketing some properties for some development, which we can go into some detail also. But yeah, last night's forum and Amber and Brad can give you some more detail on that.
All right, well, Brad, you're just next in a row, and we're just coming right down the line here. So, and set the scene for us about what last night was really all about.
Absolutely. So City of Grants Pass is identified by the state of Oregon, the Department of Land Conservation and Development, as a large city, and the state also identifies us as rent burdened. They create every year, they identify a list of all Oregon cities that are rent burdened, which there's rent burden and then there's severe rent burden. And if you fall into that category, what the legislation says is that you are required to hold a forum at the end of every year, well, before December 31st of every year, to essentially address consequences of severe rent, of high, rent burden, some of the causes, and, provide some general information to the public. Medford has theirs tomorrow. They are also rent burdened. There's, I think, somewhere around 25 or so cities in the state that fall into that category. So we are one of those, and we are required to, by December 31st of every year, hold a forum. And this is our fourth one. The legislation kicked in, I believe, in 2018. So, you know, that's sort of why we are doing it. Also, just to give an opportunity, you know, to hear from our community, and particularly those that are both renters and, you know, and landlords, who are having to address every single day, you know, the challenges related to rent and the cost of renting a household, of keeping those up to date. So we do a lot of research and preparing for it, get updated numbers so that we can share with the community. And, you know, Amber does a great job. This is her second time doing it. And, we had a good crowd. We had 20 people in the chambers last night, and we had about 10 online. So we had about 30, that attended
last night.
That's
pretty good turnout for something like this.
Yeah.
First of all, a couple of more questions for you. Is there specific criteria to be declared a rent burden community, and what's the difference between a rent burden community and a severe rent burden community?
There is. So 30% of your gross household income is the number that is used to identify whether or not you're burdened. So if you spend more than 30% of your household gross income to cover rent, then you are considered to be rent burden. If you spend more than 50% of your household income on rent, then you're considered to be severely rent burden. So for this year, the state put us, I believe, around 28% of our households that rent fall into the to that category.
Okay, all right. And Amber, your job is to fix it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. So that's where I come in and work closely, obviously, with the city community development team to address policies and see what kind of incentives that we can come up with to help developers to build new units and address the deficit in units that we're experiencing as well.
Is that the goal for last night's forum as outlined by the state?
The goal to address what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of it, is to get that kind of feedback from the community on what they would like to see us do, what they would like to not see us do. But the other part is also just that education level of making sure that our community as a whole is aware of what is happening in the rent sphere and the housing sphere. It's important, even if you're not a renter, to know what people are going through. It affects everybody down through employers to just our neighbors, to know what's going on.
All right. I would also suspect it would have a detrimental effect on growth. No place to grow. Vacancy rate or occupancy rates are, what, at 99%? Probably more than that. So going into this, what was your job going into it to set the scene for last night's forum?
So, you know, we went over a good amount of the statistics of what percentage of our renters are rent burdened, what the average asking rent was this last year, which was $1,523 across the board was the average for a new rental. We talk about income limits and what people in those income limits can afford. These are the limits that kind of define is whether you qualify for affordable housing, whether you qualify for home ownership assistance, and kind of lining up those income brackets with what jobs people might be working to be in those income brackets to kind of help us to understand that an EMT would be under the 50% area moderate income level, which means that they might be able to afford about $950 in rent if they're at that level. And we don't really have that many units in that level, maybe a one bedroom, but that's one
if
of our
least. The average is over $1,500 and,
right.
And they should be spending about $900.
Right.
Okay.
So just kind of helping people to put faces to those numbers of who in our community fall into these brackets.
What kind of feedback did you get last night from the public, or was it just an information sharing?
Well, we had a guest from the local housing authority, Kimberly, who brought a lot of her own numbers on how the housing authority is doing with their voucher system. And most of our questions actually ended up being for her. and how that program works and the new housing developments that are coming into Grants Pass, like Cathedral Square, which is bringing 56 new units to Grants Pass, and Allen Creek Crossing, which is going to bring another 68 units of affordable housing to Grants Pass. There were a lot of questions around that.
Okay. When we say affordable housing, can we define that affordable housing being at what kind of level? We've been mentioning 900 and over 1,500 is the average. So where does affordable housing fall into that?
So both of these projects are going to be income restricted at the 60% area moderate income or below. For a family of four, 60% would be, I don't have exactly 60%. I know 50% is at 38,000. So it'd be a bit above that. That's for a family of four. Those numbers do break down by how many people are in your household, and they do change. Usually they go up a little bit each year as our incomes rise. So it's definitely something you want to reach out to the Housing Authority to see if you qualify for.
All right. Well, we'll continue this conversation and get a little deeper into it as we continue. In the meantime, we have some bills to pay so that we can afford our own rent here. We'll be right back.
Medical research is...
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in Progress, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us again. Once again, our guest is City Manager Aaron Kubik, Community Development Director Brad Clark, and Amber Neek, our housing specialist, for lack of a better term. Do you have a... Let me... Fix
you had
me
it
on
right.
This. Save me on this.
You had it right. It was the housing and neighborhood specialist.
Housing and neighborhood specialist. All right. And we were talking about some of the things that happened last night at the forum. And some of the questions went to one of your guests there. And if a person is in a particular situation right now where they need affordable housing, is there a way to go about that? Did we just start on the edge of that before we took that break?
Sure. So the best thing to do if you're in need of affordable housing is to go to the Housing Authority and get your name onto the wait list for the Section 8 voucher program. You also do want to go to, there are individual affordable housing complexes, and each one will hold its own wait list. So it's important to also get your name onto those wait lists as well. It is a little bit of work, but most of their applications are pretty similar. So my inside trick is to ask for a copy of your submitted application at the first place so you can kind of copy that information across for all the other ones.
All right. Now, that's not through your office, correct?
It would not be through our office.
Okay.
No.
And give me contact information and where do I go if I need a place to live and I can afford $1,000 a month?
Sure. So it's the Josephine Housing and Community Development Council is their official name. They are on 6th Street. I don't know the exact address.
Yeah, they're actually on 7th. They're 7th, just sorry. North of Manzanita. So if you're heading towards the freeway and you're driving north on 7th Street and you go past Manzanita, they'll be on the right-hand side.
Oh, all right. So easy enough to find and easy to get to.
Yes. And they also do have the applications for all of those other complexes in their office. So you don't have to go around town to find them. That's very helpful.
All right. Along last night, did they have answers on how many units might be available right now or how fast these units turn over or what kind of a level do I have to be at in order to qualify?
So I know with the housing choice voucher, which is you get to take your voucher to any apartment that you can find, their wait list to get the voucher was sitting at around 6 months is what she said. So it does take some time. Some of these different housing complexes have much longer wait lists, so it's definitely good to call them. I've seen them as high as 4 years and as low as 6 months. So it depends on the individual complex and where they're sitting with a wait list.
So if I begin looking today for a place to live, it's going to be 6 months before I can get into an apartment.
Yes, and that's why it's important to get your application in as soon as you think you might need to, because it takes a while to process through.
All right. And we've talked about a little over 100 units due to come online here soon. And just offline, we were figuring that the cost would be about $1,000 a month. Did I hear that correctly, these new units that are coming online? How soon do we expect those units to come online, and what kind of effect will that have? Will that even put a dent in what we need?
It'll definitely put a dent in what we need. The Cathedral Square, the 56 units, are looking to maybe come online around January. So they're just finishing up their construction, and they're going
to
be...
You mean next month?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay, good.
Yeah, so those are coming a lot faster. The Allen Creek Crossing could be a while. They won't hear back from the state whether they have received their funding under this round until about February of next month. So they won't be able to begin building until they get that verification they have that funding. If they don't get it on this round, they definitely intend to apply again. sometimes it takes multiple rounds of applications under these fundings to get them awarded.
So they're about a year out.
At least.
Conservatively.
Yeah.
Easily a year out for those. But next month we've got another 50, 60 units coming on board.
Yes.
Okay. What does that really do to our situation here? And what's the impact to this economy that we have going on right now? We have people graduating from high school, graduating from college. This has been their home for years, and now I'm moving out of the nest, and I need a place to live, and there's none available.
Yeah, that actually brings up a great point. So when you think of housing in a kind of triage sense, affordable housing is the hardest to get for a community, but it's often the most needed. And then the next section that we start looking at, especially knowing that we have a large aging population, is our single units and our studio units is a really tough item to get a hold of for housing, because generally we're not seeing those built in anything other than multifamily, accessory dwelling units, and now cottage clusters we're starting to see. So our biggest population representative is the one person and two person households, which generally are looking for one and two bedrooms. But our largest represented unit size available are two bedrooms and three bedrooms. By and large, you're not going to find a one bedroom or a studio. And if you do, you're competing with a couple hundred other people to try and get into it. So we really do need to see an increase in those one bedroom and studio units, especially as we know our aging population is growing. And we also need accessible units. And again, we see more often that those accessible units come in through multifamily type buildings as opposed to the single family type buildings.
All right. I know the city has put up. Brad, you wanted to jump in here.
We were just talking about Allen Creek Crossing. Right. I think we'd be remiss if we did not point out that the city council, during their allocation of the ARPA money, the American Rescue Plan Act funds that the city received, did allocate $3 million towards affordable housing. And those funds ended up going to the Jackson County Housing Authority for this Allen Creek Crossing project. So this is on Harbeck and Allen Creek. Most people in that area would certainly be familiar with it. It's a beautiful piece. It's right on Allen Creek. It's about 4 acres. And so the Housing Authority acquired that last year, in part using the funding that the city contributed through the ARPA grant. As Amber mentioned, it's expected to be about 68 units. That's their target right now. And they are partnering through the Housing Council with vouchers on that project as well. So there will be a number of vouchers that will be contributed to that project. So, I think it's a good partnership. It's one that we heard about last night has really kind of enriching our local Housing Council's ability to do more development. Up to this point, they have really mainly been an administrator of HUD Section 8 vouchers. I mean, that's really kind of been their mission since the late 70s. But they are lately kind of becoming a little bit more familiar with the whole building and development process and how do you actually, get new units constructed and then project manage those. They recently took over management of Harbeck Village, I believe, here a couple of years ago. And so I don't want to put words in their mouth, but I think from the city's perspective, it's almost like a mentoring is happening between Jackson Housing Authority and our Josephine Housing Council. And so it's really exciting for us to see that locally here in Grants Pass and Josephine County, that capacity building sort of happening here so that we can, as we move forward, have an agency that is becoming more specialized and have more expertise to be able to get units up. Just wanted to underscore that partnership is strong and is moving ahead.
All right. Well, the $3 million graciously allocated by the city council, certainly that's just a little more than seed money, though, isn't it, for a project of this size?
Well, you define seed money for me, but these
plant something, see if it grows.
I mean, these are incredibly expensive projects. You could spend hours talking about why that is, and there's lots of fingers that could be pointed, and there's lots of credit to be taken and blame to be given for sure in terms of why is construction so expensive. But these 50 to 70 unit multifamily projects, are easily upwards of $20 to $30 million. So $3 million is certainly substantial when you look at that. But it's not going to be enough to get the framing up and pour the concrete in the ground. I mean, it's
not going to be enough to put a unit together, right? Yeah.
And just to jump in on that, it also acts as proof that the city has buy-in on this project. So it actually earns them more points on their application as well. So it gives them more capacity to potentially get that state funding. So it kind of doubles down in a way.
Okay. Let me go back and just to clarify one thing. We're not looking to point blame at anybody right now. We're just looking for help.
Sure.
and answers and a way to alleviate this situation here where a young person wants to stay in this community and find a place to live. They can do that. At any rate, so is there a way out? Did we identify any particular direction to travel last night?
So the Housing Advisory Committee recently adopted a marketing plan, and that's going to be helpful in a couple ways. One, it gets some of that information out to the community for some programs that are state and local, federally run, that those fundings go unspent. So let's get them spent in our community. It also defines the outreach we're going to do to outside developers and educating them and local developers and educating them on development code changes that makes it easier for them and less expensive for them to develop here in Grants Pass. So getting that the eyes on Grants Pass to get these types of housing that we are struggling to obtain currently is really important.
All right. Tough questions, looking for some answers right now. And if you want to submit your answers, by all means, stay tuned. Give us a call right after the top of the hour news. You're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon. There's always... Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen, in progress right now. The number to call is 541-472-1270. If you have a question or comment for our guest, and our topic today has been housing here in Grants Pass, most of all affordable housing, but anyone who has looked around for housing knows that there is a crunch, and I'm not sure if that's the right term or not, but it's pretty close. Our guest today, City Manager Aaron Kubik, Community Development Director Brad Clark, and Amber Neek, our housing specialist. So once again, welcome. Is there an answer? Is there a long-term answer? Is there a short-term answer? Have we plotted a way to alleviate the situation here? And I'll let anyone jump in if they want to. Nobody wanted to.
Well, I mean, there's been reams and reams of paper that have spent analyzing that very subject.
We've been talking about this for years.
We have, yeah. Some industries call it, a wicked problem. One of those that just is just very, very persistent and difficult to penetrate in terms of finding solutions. But the literature tends to talk about two sort of buckets, if you will, in terms of addressing it. One is income. Mm-hmm. And how do we increase income, and the other is increasing supply of housing. And that's easy to put down on paper, and it's a lot more difficult to actually accomplish. But certainly from Grants Pass perspective, it's very true, because our median income is around, this is about a year and a half old figure, but mm-hmm. it's around $15,000 less than the median household in Jackson County. So that ends up to be meaningful when you start thinking about monthly rent and disposable income. And we actually had a woman last night who attended the forum who shared that upwards of 70% of her income is spent on housing. So she works for a month, and 3 weeks of that is going straight to rent.
So she doesn't leave a lot for food, and we know the prices
exactly,
of food right now.
Exactly. So on the income side, what are those opportunities to help bolster wages and increase that? And then on the supply side, you know, we it's a all above deck kind of approach, I think, is generally what we like would like to see, where you have market rate developers and affordable. You know, you have homeowners who have maybe a little extra land and they want to build an accessory dwelling unit. You have somebody with an old aging building that's a commercial building, and maybe they convert that to a couple of units. You know, there's lots of different ways to sort of help increase supply. And we're trying to address some of those. Excuse me. One of those, that, again, pointing to the city council action, it relates to surplus property that the city has on Williams Highway. It's about 9 acres, and the city council has made the decision actually a couple of years ago to sell a portion of that for housing, retaining some of it for as parkland, but selling some of it as well for so we're putting out a request for interest right now. Actually, it'll come out tomorrow for that property, and that will what we're seeking on that is interested parties, developers who would like to propose a combination of incomes. So this would be, you know, kind of hitting at multiple different income levels, not just at the lower or middle end, but maybe also some market rate to kind of help, you know, subsidize the project, and just try to be very creative with, you know, how we partner with a developer on that project. So we'll have that out there for about 90 days, and, you know, we'll hopefully come back to you and give you an update.
See you in March.
See what kind of response we get.
All right. Basically, what you said, what I take away from this is we might be in a situation where we're almost locked into a no-win situation and trying to elevate wages, elevate income, in a situation where we can't attract new industry, new development because of limited income and limited availability of lands. And you just mentioned we've got 9 acres out there. How much available land does the city really have to develop or to devote to new housing?
Yeah, if your question relates to how much is actually owned by the city of Grants Pass, you know, there are some surplus properties out there, and Aaron could maybe speak more to that, that, you know, the city council has made it a priority to assess those, look at which ones are viable for housing, you know, and put those out there on the market and try to get housing built. So, you know, I think that we're doing that. You know, the state also owns some property, the county owns property, and then of course private owners. So the study that we did about a year and a half ago did say that there is sufficient buildable land in the urban growth boundary to accommodate the next 20 years. A huge caveat on that is that it doesn't look at what's actually for sale. You know, it just says, here's the amount of acreage that you need to accommodate growth in the next 20 years, and do you or do you not have enough acreage in your urban growth boundary? The answer to that question was yes, looking at growth rates and the number of units. But like I said, that does not factor in who's actually putting that land on the market. So, you know, we need both properties that are serviceable with infrastructure. We need, you know, it needs to be available. So there's some other initiatives underway to try to look at that more closely.
There's even, and to dig down even deeper with that, there's also our urban growth boundary, which from a city's perspective, we have a lot of master plans. So yes, do we have the available land? We do. Some of it is more difficult to develop, but we do have an inventory, like Brad said, of up to 20 years in the urban growth boundary that is supposed to accommodate the growth. And one of the issues is it's not all for sale. It could be that it won't ever come to sale. The other issue also, though, is we're also projecting a certain amount of density level to occur within those developments, including infill within our current city limits. And if we're not meeting the density level on the infill, and if we're not meeting the density levels and with regards to maybe higher density in some of those zones, then even though it says on a map that we've got the land available, if it's not being built out to appropriate density levels, we'll still fall short.
On top of that, if the land does become available for sale, is the economy in a situation where it is viable for a builder to build right now? We've got a couple of developments going up right now. Well, what are the economics right now in terms of prices are sky high, in terms of materials and labor? So are we still in? We're still in a pretty tough place.
We are. You know, lumber prices have come down a little bit from what they were a couple of years ago. You know, they really spiked to like a 20-year high a couple of years ago. Those have come down a bit. You know, the labor is a huge cost, and especially if you start getting federal money in where they have what's called Davis-Bacon wages that are required to be, which are...
You have to pay a certain level.
You have to pay a certain level, and that raises the cost. So absolutely, the cost to do it is a big factor here.
Well, we've certainly identified a problem, and we've been identifying that problem for a long time. We'll come back and see if we can find some answers and some positive steps forward after this word. Welcome back, Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. In progress here, city staff is in studio. We've got City Manager Aaron Kubik, Community Development Director Brad Clark, and Amber Neek here, our housing specialist. So we've been talking about the situation, and we've identified the situation, and we've pointed to a couple of things that are positive happening. Is there a plan forward? Is it just continuing to attack the situation? Aaron, let's start with you.
Yeah, it's building those community partners, mm-hmm. and us trying to see how we can incentivize density levels within our development area. The partnership, like with Josephine and Jackson Housing Authorities and Council, is one of those examples of being able to get those individuals to work together in partnership with the city to do something very positive for this issue that we have. Identifying builders out in the community that are wanting and willing to continue to develop and even try to reach higher density levels in our zones in our. And so that's going to be a challenge. That's the first start is, I think, in developing partnerships and for us to try to find ways to incentivize the appropriate development as seen fit by council.
Okay, we do have a call coming in. So let's say good morning. You're on the – oh, I guess they went away. They may have been dialing their phone to get the right number down for Santa's grab bag, which will be happening probably in the next – hour, but not before 10:30 this morning, ladies and gentlemen. So, once again, 541-472-1270. Brad Clark, Community Development Director, is there a way out? What path do you see ahead for Grants Pass?
So, one of the practical things that...
You know, I just said safest.
Yeah. One of the practical things that we're working on is the increase of supply of the land itself. And your question a couple of minutes ago got to that. So we were awarded a grant a couple of months ago from the Department of Land Conservation and Development to look at our urban reserve areas and identify where maybe we have some opportunity to swap land that is currently in our urban growth boundary but has not been built on with some land that's just right on the edge of our urban growth boundary that is maybe more buildable. So we're going to be starting up on that in January. We have a couple of economists and other real estate experts that will be assisting the city with that process. So, you know, it's... It's just one small piece. The city council did express interest in this during their strategic planning last year to look at, increasing the buildable lands. And so this initiative to look at a land swap, land inside the urban growth boundary for land that's outside, is one of those. I think Aaron hit it well in terms of, the overall approach, education, and then just really trying to get more folks who maybe have the resources or have the land to, you know, just add, even if it's only two or three units here, two or three units there. I mean, that will all help.
We have, you know, available land. We hear that a lot, but we need buildable available land, and we need to also, I think, have larger discussion with the state with regards to Department of State Lands, et cetera, DSL and LCDC and all those kind of organizations. But when it comes to the requirements and the protections that are on some of our rural acreage that are outside the urban growth boundary, and opening those up for development, I think is a discussion point that needs to be had at the state level.
All right. So we've identified the lands right now, and I know the city council has stepped forward several times to create incentives, but that seems to be on a per situation basis in order to encourage this development. Any further steps the council can take to encourage this sorts of thing? Are there special incentives put out in the request for proposals that you just are putting out today or tomorrow?
Well, there is an incentive in that one that comes out tomorrow, in the sense that it's, you know, we're opening up the conversation, and it's land that's there. It's 9 acres. It's already got utilities to it. It's, you know, on a state highway. I mean, we've already done the work to identify the wetlands. You know, we've done some of the other precursor work to kind of help streamline the development process. You know, we also have in place a construction excise tax that was adopted about 2 years ago that is slowly building up. The policy there is to let it get to $500,000, which we expect to be around February. And then that funding will be opened up again for another round of proposals for people to apply for and utilize just get those units built. So that's another incentive. And I know that Amber has a couple of others.
Yeah, so we also
Amber, I was going to ask if are they doing things right. So
yeah, so we also have a couple other incentives. We have the system development charge waiver incentive for affordable home for affordable housing development. There can be community development block grant dollars for certain developments. They would need to approach our community development block grant liaison, Anne, to speak with her about that. We also have, not for this project, but we have urban renewal funding as well under the housing, and we're working on in the back end a program to potentially open that up for high density and not solely for affordable housing. Keeping some of those dollars in for affordable housing, but that's going to be some back work for us first before opening that up.
All right. that being said, can you define high density for me?
Development code has high density sections. That would be our R3 and R4 is high density. I believe R3 is it 2012?
It starts around 17.
17 per acre.
Dwelling units per acre. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Earlier, or for some time now, they had the opportunity out there to approve the accessory dwelling units on people who may have their home in a larger lot and room in the back for an extra unit. Has that taken off? Have we seen much of that that development yet?
Yes. So we also have a new development down from the state that allows for middle housing land division. Does that apply to ADUs, Brad, where they can divide that off and sell that?
It could, yeah.
So now you could build an accessory dwelling unit and subdivide that and sell it as its own home, which further makes more housing availability. That also applies to duplexes, triplexes, quadplexes, and row homes. Those can use middle housing land division to subdivide those as individual homes for purchase as well.
All right. We have another call coming in. Let's see. they went away. So they're set for Santa's flyby when he does. It does, in fact, fly by. We're down to about our last 5 minutes right now. What do people need to take away from this situation? Is there a way that the individual out there can help if I'm a contractor, what do I need to know or what do I need to do to get into the game? Any of those questions right now that could help alleviate the situation. Who do I contact? Do I call Aaron? Do I call Amber? Brad, you're stuck in the middle. Who do I call?
Who are you going to call?
Yeah, you know, Amber is our housing specialist, so often we start those conversations, and she, if it's related more to a development that a city planner will do, that she can refer them. But, you know, usually a city planner or Amber's a really good place to start in terms of, you know, if you're looking for incentives, if you're looking for what's the process. We also did upgrade our website just a couple of months ago, and we have a new section on there for housing. Has its own dedicated page and has a number of resources, a number of links that explain some of the housing projects, and we try to keep things updated. For example, last night's forum, there'll be some slides from the PowerPoint that will be uploaded there. So that's, you know, that's another resource for folks.
All right. Amber, if I'm a builder looking to expand or to get into this situation right now and I come to you, what kind of information do I need to have on hand when I get face-to-face with you or I contact you online? What do I need to have ready?
You know, it can be anywhere from you just have an idea. The more information you have, the more helpful it is for us at any level. But if you're just wanting to know what is possible, I have tons of information on local incentives. I have information on state and federal incentives to kind of point you in the right direction. And then kind of go over for affordable housing, you know, what programs tend to be looking for or what can be done if you want to try and avoid running through official programs and do it on your own. What would we be looking for in terms of ongoing compliance with those programs that we offer as well.
All right. Best contact information for you, Amber. Once again, go through the website.
Yeah, through the website, you can find my email and my direct phone line as well.
All right. That's Amber Neat. All right, Brad, contact information for you or information that you need to receive in order to facilitate some additional building out there?
Sure. Well, you can always call the community development office, 541-450-6060, and we have staff there Monday through Friday that can help point you in the right direction. You know, we also have the opportunity for folks to participate and give input through the Housing Advisory Committee, which meets every month, and it's a citizen organization or a committee that the city council has appointed. They meet and talk about these issues in depth. So there's also opportunity there. And then, of course, city council meetings if people have ideas. But, you know, it is a community-wide conversation. The city's one piece of the pie, and, you know, we're trying to kind of piece the whole pie together. So if there's questions and people want to have some you know, try to find out if they're new to the area, maybe, and want to have some resources given to them, we can help point them in that direction, too.
All right, Aaron, you've got about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I just want to wish everyone happy holidays, and with everyone's input, they help make this community a great place.
All right, that's Aaron Kubik, the Grants Pass City Manager. We want to thank Brad Clark and Amber Nink also for joining us today here on the Tuesday Talk Show on KAJO Radio, AM 1270, 99.7 on the FM band. A couple of commercial messages and news coming up from the Salem Radio Network right after this word.
Skip the stores.